Thank you, Larry. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I was able to spend a 20 minutes or so last night with Lad and Ethel Horn. She's there in the hospital in the 8th floor. She seems to be aware. I was able to talk with her, and I think, Jim, you were up not too long ago, right?
Well, yeah, about that, too, but I spoke with you
Thursday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you couldn't hear too much. You had to put your ear right up to her there. She was just whispering. But she was aware that I was there and talked about different things. She's certainly, doing so-so, not too well. She has a lot of tubes. They're feeding her intravenously and monitoring her heart all the time. So let's remember them in prayer. Lad as well. Lad is going to have a minor surgery on Tuesday. So we can remember him in prayer. It's certainly a big load for him and going up there and being with her and caring for her, and also for Keith and Judy as well. John chapter 9, I was thinking of the word in John 10, which we're going to focus on, that verse, but the word abundantly. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. And as I was looking at John chapter 10, and as I was reading John 9, I realized that the Lord's conversation continued on from chapter 9. The story of the young blind man that was healed, he was blind from his birth, and the Lord made the spittle. He spat on the clay and made the spittle and anointed his eyes. And he went to the pool of Siloam, and he washed, and he received his sight. So I was thinking of the whole aspect of this story, and I don't have time to read it all, but I'm just going to give you parts of it, and I'm sure you know the story well, and that. But I was looking at it in a little different light of the fact that this blind man, how the Pharisees was responding, and how this man's sight was restored, and how he responded to the Lord Jesus, and all in this story. And then I was thinking in the light of the fact that the Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The Pharisees were not shepherds. They were not caring people for those that needed care. They were looking out for themselves, and religiously, socially, and in every way, the Pharisees were the ones who ruled. You know, I was also thinking of the fact that, you know, imagine if Christianity was ruled by a dictator or by the authority of some one man that's on earth that's dictating everything to us. Just a man. Can you imagine how we would be? But it's God. It's His Son. He's the one. And He's the one that's given of His Word to us. And He's the authority. He's the one. But imagine if we're dominated by a man. The power of a man. And being in bondage is such to the power of a man or an organization that has all this power on earth. And we know it's going to come about in the future events. And we know Catholicism was that way in church history, how they had ruled over people. But to realize that we have the freedom of the Word of God. We have freedom in Christ. Our minds are not dominated by authority of someone. We don't communicate or that with someone who is our authority on earth. And I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but it really hit home to me. I am come that ye might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Far more than anything. But to be under the domination of a world system, what a terrible thing it would be. But to have freedom of our conscience being right before God. Freedom that we can come before God in prayer without having a man to go through and having the authority of someone else. And you know, as we look at the story here of this blind man, he was under the domination of the blindness, and he totally was dominated by others because he couldn't see. He was held to their mercy. But to be brought out from under that, to be brought out from under that blindness, and now he could see, which he had never done before. He could see things. To be brought out from under that is like the new life, the abundant life that God had given. And that's why I kind of see that these two portions, two chapters, kind of go together and in the teaching that we see here. I'm going to read some of the portion. In verse 15 of chapter 9, then again the Pharisees also asked him, how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. There was a division amongst the Pharisees as to how this man received his sight, how he could see, and he had been blind. And you know, in the first part of the chapter, when Jesus healed him, but they asked him, the disciples asked him and said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And the Lord Jesus responded, neither, but that the works of God should be made manifest in them. Now, he didn't get into the aspect in which we, if we go back into Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, that sins that were committed could spread diseases amongst the children of Israel. And there were things that were committed, sexual sins and other things that were committed, that those who committed them would be stoned, lest the disease would spread amongst the nation. So there are times when sin does come. There are times when diseases do come because of sin. I did a job for a fellow right over here on Helen Avenue. His daughter bought this house and they're remodeling the bathroom, and so I was doing some work, and so we were talking about different things, and he told me that his daughter works at the children's hospital, and she would come home sometimes in tears to see some of the kids, and they were born with diseases because of the drugs and alcohol and the sexual abuse and so on. To see the condition, the medical problems that these kids have as a result of that. And it's very difficult, he said, for her at times in caring for these kids. Cancer and different diseases that they have at such a young age. The result of sin. Result of the God of this world. The result of man's own sin. And unfortunately, kids pay for that. Generation, sometimes after generation. It's very sad to see. The Lord Jesus didn't get into that. He wanted to remind them for the Pharisees to see that the works of God may be made manifest. He wanted to draw their attention to the works of God. And you know that, as we look at this chapter, that's what he has drawn the Pharisees to see, that it's truly the work of God. And they were disputing concerning the fact of the Lord Jesus as to who he is. And in verse 16, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. He has done this miracle on the Sabbath day. And they claim that he was a sinner. How can a sinner do these miracles? They saw him as just another man, as another sinner. How can he do these miracles? There was a great division. There was a division among them. And they said, they say unto the blind men again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And so on. Let's go down to verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. Give God the praise, for we know this man is a sinner. The Jews did not recognize the one who performed the miracle as the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But they referred to their father as God, God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, Elohim. They would refer to God, but they would never refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as his son, as the Son of God, as the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not refer, they refer to him as a sinner, as a prophet. And they did not recognize. That's why they said, give God the praise, not this man, but we can give God the praise. Well, did they know that it was God the Father in the Son? God the Father, God the Son, and the healing of this man. He is God manifest in the flesh. Knew no sin, did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see. In verse 27, he answered them, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We're Moses' disciples. We know nothing of this man. We don't recognize him. We only recognize Moses, the law, and the commandments, and so on. And we only recognize him, and we recognize the God of praise, but we don't recognize him. Let's go down to verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Since the world began, it had never seen that before. That one who was born blind would suddenly be healed. If this man were of God, he could do nothing. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. If he was not of God, he could do nothing. And you know, this is what this man had spoken, the one who was healed, that if he was of God, this is what he said, he could do nothing. It's only God that could heal the blind man. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast already born in sins, dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. What a tremendous testimony of this young man who had just been healed physically and spiritually. He wanted to know more of this one who had performed the miracle. And he bowed his knee and recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he believed on him. The Lord Jesus said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with you. Interesting, isn't it, how the Lord Jesus put that? You've seen me, and you're the one that you're talking to right now as the Son of God. You're the one. The Lord gave him eyes to behold him, to see him. She had never seen him before. Could not see anybody, any person. Never saw a human being. And now he sees the face, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that healed him. And one day we're going to see him, aren't we? We're going to see him face to face. When we enter his presence, we're going to see him. We are reminded of that this morning as we worshiped him this morning, and reminding that we're going to see him. We're going to see the prints, nail prints in his hands, in his feet. We're going to say, this is him. This is the one who died for me, and praise him. And bring honor and glory to him. And this blind man recognized that this is him. This is the man who opened my eyes. He believed and he worshipped. not worship and then believe. It's believe and then worship. It's God's order, isn't it? We're to believe first and then to worship. We're to come to know Christ, to see Him through the Word of God, and to see Him as the Savior of mankind, and to recognize Him as the only way that we can be saved, to know that our sins are forgiven, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come and we worship Him. What a change had been brought in the life of this young man. The Pharisees, in their dictatorship and all their commandments all their customs and their traditions and so on, that they were bringing out all the things that the Lord Jesus had broken as such on the Sabbath and so on. But they did not see that He was the Son of God, the one who truly gave him His sight. Notice in 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." For He turns His thoughts to the judgment of this world. He compares that to this young man who was healed of his blindness. He reminds him of the judgment of this world, that He's going to judge. He will be the judge. Ultimately, He's going to judge every man. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For judgment, I am come into this world. And you know, the Father had given all judgment into His hands. But He always committed Himself to the Father's will and purpose. I and my Father are one. But He came to judge, didn't He? He came to judge man. He knew what was in man, and He knows what is in our hearts. He knows all about us, doesn't He? He has judged the world, hasn't He? And Paul says the whole world is at guilty before God. That's the verdict pronounced in the judgment court of heaven, that all the world is guilty before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Judgment of this world. I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. They don't see. They did not see because of their blindness, didn't they? The blindness of Israel. There's a veil over their hearts that one day will be removed. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. There is a blindness over the heart of Israel. Their rejection of their only Son of God, their only sacrifice, coming down through the line of David and all down through the many prophets and so on, spoke of Him. They all come down to this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the one Man is blind in sin, deep in sin. And Israel's blindness, their rejection of the Son of God. And that's what the book of Hebrews is all about, isn't it? Speaking of the Lord Jesus, now in these days, He speaks to us through His Son. Pointed heir of all things and so on. He's better than angels and he's far greater than any. He's been made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death and destroyed the devil and the work, the power of the devil. And as Hebrews goes on to say, that they turn away from the final sacrifice. There's no more sacrifice. When they rejected the Son of God, when they did not enter in to the rest that God had prepared through His Son, when He had finished the work and sat down at the right hand of the Father to rest, His work was complete, and all Israel has to do is simply believe. And this is the blindness that Israel has rejected. Their blindness is they've rejected the Son of God, His only and ultimate sacrifice, the only way that they could be saved is through His death, His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. It's the only way anyone can be saved today, no matter who they are, but it's through the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Well, Israel is blind, and that they might, and that they which might, which see, might be made blind. Seems like a contradiction in terms there, doesn't it? But you know, there's the Pharisees and religious rulers, the elders of Israel, they only saw within their own context, didn't they? They were part of the religious system of that time. And that's what kind of got me to think of the aspect that suppose we were under the dictatorship of Christianity. Just suppose. As Israel was under the elders of Israel, the religious rulers. You had to do this. You couldn't do that. But see, they were seeing, but they were seeing the wrong things. They were not looking at Christ. And the Lord Jesus wanted them to see. For judgment I am come into this world because that will be made blind. Because the judgment is based upon His death, isn't it? The reason that God sent His Son, that man might see the judgment of sin and the great consequences of rejecting the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could see, but He wanted them to become recognize the blindness that comes as a result of sin. Man falling into sin. And some of the Pharisees which were with them heard these words, said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. If ye were blind, you should have no sin. You see, if they were blind, if they recognized their blindness before God, then they would have no sin because they recognized Him as to who He is. They rejected Him as the Son of God, as a Savior. And this man who healed him, they still didn't accept that fact. That He was actually the one who healed this young man. As they threw the young man out of the synagogue because of his testimony and his parents not wanting to get involved and that he's of age to talk to him. If they saw their blindness, they would have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. See, a blind person in aspect couldn't see, could he? As far as the temptations and the things about him. He could only in his own imagination, in his own thoughts and that, could he imagine the things around him. He could not see the temptations that it's faced with in the world, the many things through our eye gate that we take in day by day. And sin comes into our life often by our seeing first. We see and then we react, and sin comes in if we react wrongly against God's word. There's so much that sin presents itself in sight, doesn't it? Sin, just like as the serpent, as it revealed itself in the garden, and one that creepeth on the ground. Who would ever think that a little thing like that would be used by Satan and revealed himself as Satan to bring sin into the world? Who would ever think? But, sin came because of disobedience, didn't it? This young man, though he was blind, part of the human race, he had a disobedient heart, didn't he? Because of sin, the nature of sin. Because of Adam and Eve there in the garden, and the disobedience, sin entered into the world, entered into the heart of man. And now we say, now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. See, once we see what sin is and the consequences of it, sin remains because he could see. This young man could see all about him. And so it is with the Pharisees. They could see. They could picture in their own minds about the spiritual and the religious thinking at that time. And they thought they were righteous enough within themselves. But their sin remains. Their sin is ever before them. Just as a young man who was healed and recognized his blindness before God spiritually and received spiritual healing. Our time has gone by, but I'd just like to begin in chapter 10, just a few thoughts. And as we picture the Lord Jesus there with them, in verse 40, the Pharisees were with them. They heard the words. And so they were there having this discussion, this discourse. And he continues on. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." There's many thieves and robbers today, isn't there? And that's what the Pharisees and these religious leaders were. They were thieves and robbers. They were against Christ. They were against the Good Shepherd. But they wanted to get into the fold. You know, at night the shepherd would bring the sheep into this enclosure for the night. Protection for them from the wild animals, and then just to be together with the shepherd at night. And there was a door, but if were those that would try to enter in another way into the sheepfold, it would be those that would be a thief and a robber out to destroy. The world is filled with thieves and robbers. The desire is to get into the sheepfold and to destroy and to steal, to take away and to disrupt. And that's the work of Satan, isn't it? That's the godless system of this world, the seeking to take away. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. The porter stands by the door. And when the shepherd comes, he opens the door, doesn't he? The shepherd enters through the door of the sheepfold. The porter is the one. To him the porter openeth. And when he enters, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He calls them by name, and he leads them out. And as I was reading this, I was thinking, what a contrast. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the rules and the domineering of the Pharisees and the religious rulers, and how the Lord Jesus would just speak in such a way, just a simple way, to the sheep. They'd hear his voice. They'd listen for his voice in the morning as he would arise, as he was ready to lead his sheep out. He would call them all by name. It's a great devotion to us as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we hear his voice? Do we listen for his voice? Do we listen for him closely so we know that he knows my name? Do we realize that he cares that much for you and me? That he would call out my name when we bow in prayer before him? Do we really see him? Do we really hear? Are we so close to him that we would hear him calling our name? Are we ready for him to lead us out to green pastures? Are we that close to him? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Lord, for this portion. We give you thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ and many things that we learn as he dealt with those religious rulers and The healing of the blind man. Oh, what a story. What an encounter. What a miracle. Physically and eternally. Lord, we just pray that we might continue to dwell upon him and to realize the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not bound by law or rule of man, but simply free to know the greatest person that ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be able to come and to worship him and to praise him. And to just focus on him and to realize that he wants to be center of our lives. Lord, we just give you thanks and help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.